All right. Usually before these podcasts where they need an intro for whatever reason, it's James and Shane in the studio whilst they're in work. But for some reason, I've been asked or I'm doing this one, which kind of tells you about how good what you're about to hear is. So about, I don't know, about July or August 2018, we'd done a couple of dummy runs of this before we started it. We thought we'd lost them. Someone's found them. I'm going to listen to them at the same time as yours, and I will put it out. The reason it's getting out, the chances are you're listening to this way after this has been released, but it's a year ago today that we released our first episode, so we thought it would be nice to do like a thing like this, and then you're going to listen to it and go, Jesus Christ, why the fuck did I listen to this? Because you'll have heard 90% of the chat already, to be honest, but rehashed and better because we've listened back to this at some point and went, that was funny or has potential, but we made a complete cunt of that. I'm off, right? Here's the first bit. You'll laugh a few times in it, so listen for that alone, and then I'll do this again for the second part. So here's the very, very, very first attempt at recording Drunk Therapy. Fuck, I shouldn't be allowed to do this.
The following podcast contains three mates talking shit over some beers. As you can imagine, the language can get a wee bit hairy from time to time. So get involved, grab a beer and join us for Drunk Therapy, the podcast.
So, I've been watching Orangutan Jungle School this week.
What an opening line. Been watching the
orangutan. Sorry. It's on Channel 4 and it's about orangutans. They're not going to jungle school, but it's like orphaned.
Wait. Is orangutan? Have you seen Planet of the Apes, the updated version?
Aye, well, it's not that, because they've been like well educated. No, it's like a private school, it's not public school.
Easy, right. The orangutan is like the main guy's right hand man.
Yes, I've seen the second one of them, in fact. I need to see the third one, because I quite like the second one.
Don't mean to blow your mind. What? My brother was in Planet of the Apes as a monkey. You know the monkey that gets hosed down in the laboratory or whatever it was?
By Malfoy.
It's Malfoy, isn't it?
In the first one.
All right, so Malfoy hosed down my brother. My brother was in like a CGI Andy Serkis type suit. He's in the credits as hosed down monkey.
Did he have to wear a suit?
No, he just wore one of those suits that had like blue balls everywhere.
Like men that haven't had sex in a long time.
Men that haven't came in ages just fucking teabagging my brother.
That's too easy of a joke.
As I said it, I was like, blue balls, I'm pretty sure I've heard that before.
I fucking had a very salient point about Orangutan Jungle School before you...
Right, can you guarantee that this will be the best chat about an animal on this podcast before I get into another bit?
Nah, because it veers off from animals.
No, tell us it. In 30 seconds.
Right, okay, to try and summarize it.
Wait. He's got a sound effect.
You're not about to play a timer thing.
Mm-hmm. He's got a bloody timer.
And go.
Right, so I can't hear it, so that means I've got a limitless fucking thing. No, don't look confused at me. I've got a limitless time here because there's no effect. When I was watching Orangutan Jungle School, I decided that I wanted to do a conservation holiday. Looked into it and it turns out they look really shite. You pay like £1,200 and at no point do you touch, hug or feed an orangutan. You help build cages, you clean up shit, and it just sounds fucking rubbish.
I like how you didn't go on a conservation holiday because you don't get to touch any orangutans. How much touching of an orangutan did you want to do?
I'm paying £1,200. I am feeding a fucking baby orangutan. I am hugging a baby orangutan. I am in tears when I leave these orangutans. If I'm paying £1,200 and some cunt is saying to me, go and build a cage, that sounds shite. Like, no, you pay me £1,200 for that. I like animals. I want to hug one and I want to feed one. I don't want to pay £1,200 to essentially get cock teased by a baby orangutan.
How do you feel about this animal?
But I know it's going to be like, it's like crack. This is taking over the streets worse than crack did. Like the 80s.
There's two lassies in my class in uni, and for a year on Snapchat they've been playing clips of making each other kind of sing and dance to this,
and I had no concept of what it was. And then it was the other day, I seen it on YouTube and it had 1.5 billion views.
Yes,
and I just knew it as that's that song that those two lasses.
See, I didn't discover this movement until over Christmas. I was living with my mum for 6 weeks, right? And my mum's flat was a 2-year-old girl. And this is very similar to another song called Daddy Finger, Daddy Finger. And it's the weirdest. Yeah. There's innuendos all over it. It's the weirdest, most disturbing, catchy thing that you ever hear. And I'm looking at this going, there's like 20 different versions all over YouTube. And I'm thinking, why has that got 17 billion views? And then I'm going, all I want to do right now is create a children's song. These fuckers have taken the exact same concept of that, but made a fucking catchy tune.
Made it not sinister.
And about a shark. Yeah, they did what I couldn't do.
I love how you just walked around, though, because I did notice this. You walked around going, Daddy Finger, Daddy Finger. And I was like, you seem creepy when you say that in your best way.
No, but it then goes, Mommy Finger, Mommy Finger, where are... How the fuck do you create a song on YouTube?
We start brainstorming now, then. What do you have to say? So what are people like? What are what's an animal that's not a shark?
Cause big gorilla, big gorilla.
It's just so funny. Big gorilla sometimes throw poos at tourists. Like, that's your song. Talk about gorillas.
That's the sound effect I'm going to use whenever anyone's taking it off on a tangent that I think doesn't need to be here.
Let's call it what it is. It's the shut up, let's move on to fucking sound effects.
Well,
guys, I've got a question, right? And tell me if you think this is weird. And this might be a cool name for a segment. Tell me if you think this is weird. But genuinely, I've done it a few times with Marla and she fucking hates it. But basically, I've taken up swimming because I've got fat recently and I want to not be as fat. And when I come back from the pool, what I'll do is I just won't bring any spare shorts. I'll just wrap a towel around my waist and just be naked underneath the towel. And it's the Gorbals to city centre. It's like maybe a 7-minute walk. Basically, you've got a kilt of a towel, but it's kind of quite dodgily wrapped up. So I was walking back today and had my bag with my goggles in one hand, had my phone, and I was voice messaging my girlfriend just going, hey, you're a lady who likes me. Well done. And my towel fell down on a main road. Is that weird that I do that, though? Like walking back and just a towel from a place. It's not long, not a big journey. Honestly, do you think that's weird? Or as a guy, would you be like, yeah, good on you.
How long have you been living in Scotland?
Like a year and a half.
A year and a half. And that's the first time you've got your penis out in the gardens.
So where are you walking back from?
Imagine a 7-minute brisk walk, right?
Anywhere. Just in a towel?
Just, no, I had a t-shirt on. But like, you've got no undies underneath, no pants underneath your towel. So like, you can feel the breeze.
Were you trying to make it look like a kilt?
Yeah, no,
says,
because
that's weird.
No, in New Zealand we do that. You come back from the beach if you're a surfer and you just have your towel and a t-shirt because it's like, ah, I live down the road, it's all right.
Come back from a swimming pool in New Zealand like that?
Have you ever been to the beach in the Gorbals, James?
Yeah.
I've been to it.
Well, there's the bit with the Clyde, like when it gets the tide gets really low and there's a little bit there and you jump down and you grab like a fucking hammer that someone's thrown down.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to use this hammer to tighten my towel.
And then you just get your cock out and then walk home.
Yeah. Like I'll make a confession here and brave man, I've never even got naked in the gym. The fact that he's willing to fucking walk around in a towel coming out, it shows the perceptions. I don't feel like that.
I didn't have a gym membership and I've done that.
You've just gone up, rocked up naked to a gym and been like, how do I work this door
lads
thing? Like, do I put my junk on this part?
Like, I've just felt so awkward my whole life that, getting naked next to another guy is weird to me.
I was a bit like that, right, until I played rugby. And I'm not saying rugby players are just like, here's my penis, look at it. But, like, you're in a shower that's got 10 showers, you're all covered in mud, it's freezing, it's the middle of winter, and it's like, wait, get in that room with warm water and you will not be cold and muddy anymore. So you do, you just get your junk out and do the helicopter thing, and just everyone has a good time. So after that, it's not that weird. Like, I'm not like, oh, my cock's massive. Who cares? I'm an adult. I honestly am not trying to have sex with you. Or you, no offence.
I love how he's tried to disguise rugby as prison.
Baby shark.
Baby shark. Baby shark without the sound effect. All right.
No, genuinely though, that's weird. Don't do that in Scotland. It's out there, man. It's out there.
There was about 4 to 6 seconds where my bum and my penis both were on display on the main road.
Plus, it's cold and windy enough that your shorts would dry off pretty quickly.
Well, did you see that story about the guy who, then this is just a side note of pranking your mates, the guy that got pranked by his mates in a pool, and I'm assuming it's like fucking Spain. And I don't know why you would accept a pair of shorts off your mates, but somebody gave him a pair of shorts and they were dissolving shorts. So he was in the pool and his shorts started dissolving. So he's like, they're broken! They're broken! And then they're like, they're all dissolving! And he starts going, what do I do? And he's in this pool and you can just see this guy with like fucking dissolving shorts. It was amazing.
What kind of a dick friend like goes online, researches dissolving shorts, and then like buys them? That's like a kind of person that has seen glitter in an envelope. If you buy your friend dissolving shorts, you are a dick. Can we play the sound effect?
Let me ask you a question, right? And just because we're on a subject of penises, and it came to me a little while ago, and it's probably not entirely for public consumption, but since this is drunken therapy, and you're meant to get into some stuff on this podcast.
Yeah. It's drunk pub chat with mates, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Do you guys make noise during sex?
I did not expect that. I thought it was heartfelt. I honestly thought he was going, guys, what's your thoughts on equality? Or like, you know, something like that.
No, but it's important to me because, like, naturally, I'm not a noisy guy during sex, you know?
You only make one noise and that's... Baby shark.
No, but genuinely, like, if you do make noise, right, do you make natural noise during sex? And if you don't, what noises do you make? Like, I genuinely, because, right, we're all aware that there's girls out there and there's this whole trend of faking orgasms to make men feel better, right? What, like, I just don't think it's a natural occurrence of a man to go, oh, baby. I just think that guys are silent types that go on with a business.
I have made noise at time from time to time.
But was it natural?
No, maybe. I don't know. It's one of those things where sometimes you go, well, she seems to be having a good time. I need to let her know that I'm having a good time.
Yeah, yeah. Is it like a handshake? Yeah, like you're enjoying. I'm going to show you that I'm enjoying because we exist as men a lot in our head. Whether we're pleased or displeased, we won't vocalize. It's just a natural order.
Yeah, cool.
So when you're having sex and you're having the best time of your life, you naturally keep that in your head.
Can you? And this is a big ask, and I apologize for asking in advance. Can you try and give us the noise you make?
I don't make any noises.
You've never made a noise.
I have. Maybe gave noises for the girl.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I'm like, this is great. But elsewhere, I'm thinking, I could do all of this silently. But at the same time, if a woman was silent, I would be worried. So I'm trying to put myself in the woman's place and thinking, oh man, if you're a man, I don't know, however it works, right? Are you making noise naturally? Are you making noise for the other person? And if it was all silent, would it be a turn on?
Here is the noise I'm making. I feel like I'm being quite brave, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for my girlfriend if she listens. But it's kind of like this.
Do that again. Wait. Let me put scenarios in front of that side.
Okay.
Just had some great ice cream. Daddy. Just took my socks off.
Daddy.
Stop saying just, daddy. You're making it creepy. And here's a side point of
wait, I'm not finished. Uh-oh. Just drop my towel in the girl bolts. I think it's... Do you know what? I don't think we're going to solve this problem here. However, I think it's a topic of discussion for men. And for me, this whole podcast is about getting inside the heads of other guys and finding out what goes on in their heads.
Am I the only one that thinks porn's no longer that great? Like, porn's getting a bit stepdad, stepdaughter for me. And it's a little bit like putting it in places that I normally wouldn't put it in. I'm trying to be as PC as I can, but to me, porn, like, the majority of porn is just like, You know what I mean? That's, I guess I can watch it.
Do you know what? It's not something I want to get into in this because I've never watched porn.
Ah.
And that's the end of that question. Right, you. This is something that popped into my head when we were having a little pre-podcast beer. Just, and it's at the bottom of the list. And did you ever kiss your mum goodnight growing up?
I don't think I've kissed my mum once in my life.
Bullshit.
Honest truth.
Bullshit.
Damaged family, but.
And your mum not like you.
Never, don't think we've ever kissed. I definitely never said I love you to each other.
Fuck off. Do you have siblings?
Yes.
Are you the shit kid?
No, I'm the youngest.
No, like, do you
I'm
know
if, baby.
If you're the shit kid, do you know that you're the shit kid?
Everyone takes it in turns to be the shit kid.
Oh,
but nah, I don't know. It's just it really creeps me out. Families saying I love you, teacher. It's kind of like a thing where people text each other going, "Oh, mum, I'm going for bread. Do you want anything? I love you." Yes, daughter, I need milk. I love you too. That freaks me the fuck out. Like, you don't need to say it.
Yeah, I hear you. But I'm a mummy's boy. I don't know why. I've always been a mummy's boy. And I've always said I love you, mum. I've always given her kisses. I've always given her cuddles. Are you ready to fucking cry? Because this shit is the cutest story you'll ever fucking hear. I apologise for swearing. So basically, when I was a kid, right, mum was a teacher at my school, and we'd walk to school holding hands. And she said one day, "You won't want to hold my hand and walk to school." And I said, I walked down the street and I said, "I will, I'll just have to reach down." And she cried and I went, "Ah, pussy." No, you know what I mean?
You made your sex noise.
No, I didn't make my sex noise and I didn't call my mum a pussy. But I went, "This is weird, I'm a kid, I don't understand this." As an adult, I knew this was a thing that she'd always had because she'd always brought it up. She was so proud of me for saying this. So we were in New Zealand not long ago for Christmas. We were walking down the road to the shops and I reached down and I grabbed her hand. And you know what she did?
Screamed.
No, she cried. She fucking cried. Right. How cute is that though? Because I said it and then I came back like 20 years later and I fucking did it. I am the ideal fucking son. And mum says she loves me and I say I love her because she doesn't hate me because I'm a good bastard of a son. And I'm not afraid to say that.
I'm proud of your memory. And yeah, I've nothing. It's good that you say that to each other. It's nice.
Tell me it's cute. Tell me that story was fucking cute.
It's all right. It's nice. You've got a good memory. That's something. But
I did this every night when I was younger. For maybe from the 8 till 13. One night I thought, it's weird, isn't it? Like, I'm a teenager. I don't need to be kissing my mum goodnight in the cheek. But at the same time, I was having a moral dilemma. What? She thinks I don't love her, but it's weird, isn't it? I'm growing older, I'm going through puberty.
Full disclosure, I've got to bring this up. James, you just went for a piss. And we've got to talk about this because we're drinking beers. You have to piss, it's natural. But you just missed the cutest fucking story you'll ever hear. And it was like along the train of thought that you're taking.
And I'm not.
Damn, I wish.
And I'm not telling it again. I'm not telling it again.
Go back and listen to how fucking cute
I wish we had recorded it. See, it's me seamlessly trying to, you know, pretend that I wasn't away.
No, to be fair, I think if we're talking about porn and shit like that, we should be talking about the fact that you pissed. Because check your prostate. I had no real angle I was going with, so I just went with something that people would agree with.
Well, I was pissing.
I was in the presence of someone today and someone asked a question saying, if you could get away with it, who would you murder? And the girl said Claire Sweeney. Which was amazing.
That's
but
a throwback name.
One of the most frequent questions that I have with my friends is, how would you get away with murder? We all think about it.
I've honestly talked about this to probably 15 different groups of people. Like, it's just one of those conversations that weirdly, I think it's like we're all a bit evil inside and it just comes out when you've had a few beers. I'm sorry if I'm stealing this from anyone else because I think most people think about this. Ice pick, right? Obviously, you stab them with an ice pick, it melts. Hair mask? Body suit that's like the hair mask kind of weird bio suit material. Shoes that don't have... They've got the wee hair mask over the shoes and then do it in a different place in the world where you don't know the person. I reckon wholeheartedly, I think that's the best way to get away with murder.
Sounds like a lot of work, though.
Yeah, it's a shit ton of admin. That's why I haven't killed anyone. Well, that's one of the reasons I haven't killed anyone. But
my simple answer is I wouldn't. I would just get caught.
See, I would murder his mum.
Who's mum? My mum. Oh, she's going to be the one fucking listener to this.
Tell me that fucking story again, yeah?
It's because I was fucking cuter than him. All right, so everyone's pussied out. You guys have genuinely both pussied out.
I would try, but I would get caught.
Yeah, but how would you? Why are you smarter than the cops?
I'd need to do it pre-Brexit, because mine would involve the use of the Schengen area.
I don't even know what those words mean.
It's a lovely big section of Europe where you can travel through borders without a passport. So if I'm going off some cunt, and then I'll jump a flight to Paris, and then from Paris I can get a bus to Budapest, and then from Budapest I can just kind of hop about until it gets to a point where nobody can be arsed trying to trace me anymore. So then, right, he's going to Paris, he's going to Budapest, he's in Slovenia, right, let's just call it a day. He's obviously done this for a while and I can't be bothered trying to find him.
We'll get him when he comes back.
Yeah.
He can never go back though.
He'll log on to Snapchat and then it's like, I only found this out recently that fucking with Snapchat, you essentially just stalk cunts now.
But to be fair, you can turn that off.
I would need to delete my account before I killed someone.
All right, so if you're going to kill anyone.
And you can't have your mobile phone on you when you kill the person.
That's really good shout, because even if that's turned off, Google knows everything.
Mm. Yeah, you could go on your phone right now and it would tell you.
I'm on my phone right now.
You googled, I don't know, rip off taxis in Orlando people. In March 2017.
Mate, New Zealand people are hard as fuck. Have you not heard of the All Blacks? Have you seen the haka? Shit is scary as fuck.
You just said a really shit story about holding your mum's hand and broke you down.
No, I don't remember that. That was a cute fucking story. A cute story.
I'll just tell that story and then that'll break you down emotionally and then do the rest.
I love the sound effect because it's like, shut up, cunt, you've talked too long.
Sharp end or blunt end of the spade, though? That's
this has been a great podcast anyway. It's been I feel like we've learned a lot about Shane. His sex noise, his murder, his mum. It's been a delightful experience.
So we're meant to be signing off now. What do we say when we say goodbye on a podcast?
Catch you.
See you later, mate. Oh, fuck, that sounded Australian. Wait up. See you later.
So aye, short and sweet, there you go. The very, very, very first attempt at drunk therapy. Immediate observations. One, it's actually like 99% of the patter's been rehashed. Sorry about that. But it was better, the rehash stuff. It was interesting that James decided in like the first fucking 10 minutes of drunk therapy history, he wanted to write a kid's song. And a year and a half on, we're still waiting on that. Also interesting that it was him that came up with the concept of the murder question and not Shane. I don't know when that changed or why it changed. But there you go. It's Shane stole James' question, evidently. And three, how fucking annoying is that sound effect thing? I'm very glad. Well, I was going to say I'm very glad we don't do that anymore. But the next one that I'm about to play now, which is also only like, I don't know, 20 minutes or something, it also does the sound effect thing. It's an Eminem one, and I've no idea why it's Eminem. It's been cut, so what the conversation's been, fuck knows, no idea. Use your imagination, figure it out. Maybe, I don't know, let's try and make something up quickly. I decided that I like Eminems. Jesus fucking right. Here's a second bit. This is the last bit I'll speak, so once this bit ends, it'll just end. So here, listen. Sorry about the Eminem sound effect stuff. Sorry about that Eminem part as well. It was dire. Here, go.
The following podcast contains three mates talking shit over some beers. As you can imagine, the language can get a wee bit hairy from time to time. So get involved. Grab a beer and join us for Drunk Therapy. The podcast. I've got a question for you guys. Clear your mind if you can. Imagine you're at a running event. You may be running, you may not be running. You're in an event where people are running. Fit people. You're having a chat to people. You're trying to blag your way through the conversation because they're way fitter than you. They're way more committed than you. And then all of a sudden a man comes up to you and tells you that his secret to his success is he drinks a glass of urine every morning. Quick fire. What do you say to that person?
You lost me at Imagine Running.
See, I'm awkward enough to just say, cool, mate.
That's what you do, though. It happened to me. I was emceeing a running event, and someone told me that, and I was just like, what the fuck do I say to that?
Yeah, you after the fact, when someone tells you something like that, you like to think, if you're telling that story to your mates in the pubs, you exaggerate what you would say. You'd be like, oh, no, so I turned around to him, your own urine? And I'm getting a little witty response.
Right. Yeah, do you not just sheepishly kind of go, yeah, me too?
Yeah. But in that moment, the reality is you're so taken aback. You're like, nah, okay, mate.
I responded. What do you think I said?
Are you taking the piss?
Shit, that's good. That is very, very good. I like that. No, I said, what does it taste like?
What did he say?
Piss.
It tastes like piss.
Now, like, am I right in thinking that it's just the excreted nonsense from food and drink that comes out your urine?
I think it's like 80% blood. That's grim, eh? That is fucking grim to say. I said that and went, but yeah, urine, I think, is a lot of blood and like vitamins and...
That, does that mean that vampires should just give you a blowjob instead of chewing your neck then?
Yeah, but if you're pissing during a blowjob, it's not going right. It's not going well. If someone comes at me,
I would let a vampire summer penis.
No. Whatever you're into. But like, if someone comes at me with fangs that, and they're like, I want to suck your penis, I'd be like, nah.
Well, you could just come up to a compromise and go, well, why don't I just piss in this plastic cup instead? And then we'll both be happy.
So you hear that sound? Move on.
It's the shut the fuck up, hurry up, move on, you're talking shit sound effect. I like it, it's good.
Last week, after we finished recording this podcast, you may recall we went to a venue that was playing pop music and cheese music. I loathe it. I utterly despise it because it's 4 hours of gradually raising your arm, making dead eye contact with the person in your group and screaming the lyrics of a song to that person. That is literally a cheese and pop music night. So you lift your arm up, look the person in the eye and go,
I woke up today with this feeling.
And one was, we're halfway there.
Whoa! Living out of
there. Fucking love you, dude! Get another pint, get some shots, yeah!
Woo! Best day ever! So you do that for 4 hours, that's a sign of insanity to me. So, now I can go to like an indie theme night out and I can put my arm around somebody and kind of move to the music and sing along. I can go to a good dance or techno night out.
No. So I'm going to stop you there.
Indie music's techno, essentially
the,
pop.
Nah,
I'll
the
give
only
you that.
Thing I do at a techno night out or a house night out is raise my fist, and I don't look at anyone in particular, but I just nod my head and look around at everyone.
Exactly.
The exact same.
No, but you get into the music, you don't stare somebody in the eye and scream at them like a fucking psychopath.
But you're having a moment.
Nah,
you're genuinely just having a moment
with the music because you're taking the music in.
Your moments with the person who shares that exact love for that song?
Nah, your moments with somebody who's also fucking brain dead and has no imagination.
Who has had that many pills, he can't keep his jaw.
That's
straight.
A good techno night out, because with or without enhancement, she can embrace the music and get into it.
My issue with techno is you can point and you can do your hand thing, but there's no fucking words. How the fuck am I going to sing to that?
That's
my one dance move. Gone. You've just fucked me for the night out. And I've got to dance to that with all these people on pills and like performance enhancers that keeps them up all night. Mm. I'm drunk and going, I can't do this for more than 20 minutes because I've got no words and no people to point to.
And it teases you. You can be like in the middle of a song and then there's just a slight lyric that comes in. You're like, yeah! And then it disappears for like about 4 minutes and then comes back in. And by that time, you're like, yeah.
We were in there for 45 minutes and I got given shots of Zambuca. I get given shots of mysterious other stuff. You bought me a pint. Somebody bought me a rum because everyone knows it's shit. And the only way to enjoy it is to get that fucking drunk that you just have to go with it.
Nah. I disagree with that because you, and this takes it back to yesterday. We were at the football yesterday and we were, just to give a bit of background on it, we were on the train and Shane and I like to do a thing called train beers. And I'm sure everyone likes to have train beers. And whilst we were having train beers, Danny rightly pointed out, he was like, what was the exact phrase you used?
Well, the two of you binge drink, which isn't a bad thing. It's just what
exactly,
you do.
And that's exactly what we were doing last Saturday. We were continuing the binge drinking. Once you binge drink, you need to binge drink more.
Yeah.
Then some more.
But that's a high. That's I'm binge drinking right now.
So pop and cheese music encourages binge drinking. Binge drinking brings down the downfall of a generation to alcoholism. So in a way, S Club 7 are fucking murderers. My name is
I've got a question, right? and it's just something that popped into my head. We do these pre-show meetings and I always come very ill prepared. So I just things pop into my head. Would you go to an orgy?
What do you mean? Would we go into the orgy to watch or do we go to the orgy to get involved?
Let's go to an orgy and watch and just see what it's like.
I would just to maybe commentate. Imagine that. Ooh, and now the big man with the large penis is going over to the lady. She looks enthusiastic, but that guy over there is a little bit jealous. He's a bit smaller. I think it'd be weird. It'd be fucking awkward.
I would go to watch Shane get kicked out for commentating on it. I want to see a naked man drag him out because he keeps commentating on what he's doing.
He's the one that I said had the smaller penis.
That's
as well,
the only right? thing I'm going for.
No, but genuinely, right, so we're in Glasgow, Scotland right now, and somewhere in the city has to be an orgy happening tonight that's been organised on the internet, and these people are not good looking. Not there's maybe one or two good looking people who are fully clothed just observing, and then it's, you know, it's Mary and Miriam and John and Derek, you know, that meet up to play bowls or whatever. There's a range of like 30-year-olds to 70-year-olds all just getting in amongst it. I would love to watch that.
Well, I went to a dog insight after I passed my driving test.
Yeah, tell us about that.
But it's not an exciting story because as I pulled up, there was like genuine, there was like cars and headlights, and I was probably about half a mile away and you could see the headlights and the cars, and I shat it and turned around and went back. I'm not on my own. I wasn't going with the intention of like trying to do anything. I was with mates and we're like, oh, we'll go here dogging, expecting there to be nobody there and then whatever. And there was people there, and the closer we got, we all just kind of went, just go home, and we all just shat it and turned around and went up the road.
How old were you?
I was 19 when I passed my test, so.
And you were afraid of an orgy.
I'm not going to watch dog. That would be fucking horrible going to watch
like
dogging.
Kind of shit, eh?
Dogging, but the orgy would be in the same level.
Yeah, it would be grim. I wouldn't go. It's just no.
But orgies come up. They come up in conversation loads. I would love to
be. Don't. Yeah, the fuck brings that up in conversation? Morning, John. How was your weekend?
Mate, orgy was out.
Oh, you were that. You have an orgy as well, aye.
It was 14 people.
I just thought we were just going to get an Indian in, but you went from. You had another orgy, so yeah.
What's the difference between an orgy and dogging?
Dogging's in a car park.
Is it actually?
Yeah, it's like outdoors.
We don't have dogging in New Zealand, right? And I came over with a girl at the time, and we had a dog together, and someone like did a trick with their dog in a park, and I went, really, really good dogging, great dogging, and they just looked at me like, what a fucking horrible person.
What was the trick?
I think the dog, not a flip, but it did a jump, like she could go, jump, and the dog would jump straight up, land back down in like a sitting position. Very good dogging. I mean, dog tricking. Tricking's even a bad one. You can't say anything around dogs.
Dog tricking's fine. Dogging's weird. But I don't believe for a second that a dog can do a flip and land on its feet at the same time.
It didn't do a flip. It just jumped.
Oh, right.
No, so it wasn't that cool.
That's not a fucking trick.
Yeah, but
to what dog? The dog jumped.
No, but she said, no, fuck off. No. She said, jump. And the dog jumped.
Did you throw the dog up in the air and it landed through? You're like, fucking hell, look at that. Dog jumped.
The dog was a German Shepherd and she said, jump, and it jumped and then it landed back sitting down. That's fucking awesome.
It's just, nah. And then did she go, I watch this track, eat. And then it's like, eating food.
What?
Shit. Oh my God, it's done shit.
Have you ever had a dog?
I've had several dogs.
All right, what tricks? Just
on in this context, sleeping, breathing, sitting, walking, you name it, this dog does it.
I want to go to Crust Dog Show and just try and just hashtag dogging and just get that trending there.
I love how he sidestepped the fact that you completely owned his dog trick.
Fuck off, it was a good dog trick.
There's something that's happening, it starts tomorrow, and by the time this podcast goes out, it probably may have happened or is in the midst of happening, and it's a Scroll Free September. Have you guys heard of this?
Is it kind of like when people get fucking on their high horse and go, oh, it's Dry July, you know, drinking causes lots of wastage of cans, like the shit like that. Like, I agree that, yeah, stop ruining your liver, and if you've got a problem, seek medical advice, but fucking if you don't preach.
So Scroll.
Yeah, no, don't preach.
Well, Scroll, it's got a mental health element to it, and it's kind of encouraging people to, we've all been in these arguments where, you're sitting, have you got a girlfriend or not, right? You sit there and you're like, oh, you're always on your phone. And that's as soon as the girlfriend or boyfriend puts their phone down. Or there's kids out there that are, you know, having to exist in a world where, you know, they need to look beautiful or their friends are got all the latest cool gear and all that. So this is just encouraging people to put away their phones for the month and live a life without scrolling, you know, live in the real world. But it got me thinking about my first social media. I don't know if any of you guys were on this, but I remember Face Party.
No. Back Face in the Party day, doesn't even sound. Is it a legit?
Face Party's
like something for a film, isn't it?
Yeah, like, Face Party's like when they can't say Facebook.
I'm gonna log in Face Party. Please don't sue us. Please don't sue us. Please don't sue us.
What was your first social media?
MSN Messenger.
Does it count?
Yes. Well, to an extent, yeah.
That was a good one because that was dial-up internet. So what you had to do is plug the little cable in. It went giggle, 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 giggle. Your mum yelled at you, and then you would just say dumb shit, like flirty dumb shit to the other 14-year-old, because you were 14 at the time, that was chatting with you. And that, you know what, the one good thing I got out of MSN was I went, what's a song I should download? Which, by the way, downloading a song took about 6 days. It was the Ignition Remix by R. Kelly. Tune.
He was the kind of guy that would take advantage of MSN Messenger as well.
Especially
when you were 14, yeah. Allegedly. Allegedly. We must say allegedly. MSN Messenger was... I proposed to a girl on MSN Messenger once. I sat up to 4 or 5 in the morning talking to her mum, and it was at my mum and dad's room. So they were sleeping, and I was talking to this girl.
In the room?
Yeah, they were behind me because they had the computer in the room, and we were talking about going away and getting married and stuff. We must have been about 16, 17.
My first one was Bebo. Do you guys remember Bebo?
Yeah. Fuck off, you didn't have MySpace.
I didn't have MySpace.
No. MySpace for New Zealand and Australia was only bands. Like, if you were a cool fucking man in a band, you had MySpace.
Yep.
What was your band?
We'll get to that in a further podcast, maybe.
All right. So, you could send the love, though. You could, like, I still reckon this is really good. You could draw pictures to people.
Mm.
And you could, like, send them, like, no one ever sent me a love heart, so I didn't like that. But, like, you could send
No
pictures.
One ever sent you a love heart? How sad were you?
No, because when I started, I had a girlfriend and I was...
She not send you?
She wasn't on it. So I was just, like, I had about 10 mates back home. I probably had 15 people I talked to, and they were all in my top 6 or 12 or whatever you could do.
Yeah.
But there were some good photos on there. It was about a year and a half before Facebook came out. I eventually got a MySpace, and then that died as well. But Bebo was the fucking OG. That was Facebook before Facebook even knew it was Facebook.
I had Bebo. I had them. I had everyone. And what really gets to me now is the fact that you were so... And I was single throughout a large percentage of having these social medias. And what... If I could look back at Bebo right now, it'd be ridiculous. Or MySpace, because you just went on someone's wall and overtly flirted with them.
in front of everyone.
But then jumped onto someone else's wall and did the exact same. So it was open season. You were just like trying to shoot about 7 deer at a time. And you could never, never do it.
Shoot 7 deer. That's such a romantic way.
Adding that to the pretend romance. Shooting deer.
That's a lot of bath bombs right there. That's...
Are you going to follow R. Kelly after this?
You know what? I probably would do. I'll go back and listen to, because I Believe I Can Fly was huge. And there's another one. I never heard it, but my mate used to always sing it when he was drunk. And it was, I am a mountain. Ooh, I am a soldier. Ooh,
yeah,
I am
that was,
fire.
That was the song. Does anybody ask me who I am?
Yeah.
Just stand up tall, look him in the face and say... I'm that star up in the sky.
I'm pointing at Danny.
You didn't know you were doing that until you started doing that. You both raised your hand, looked each other in the eye, and started singing the chorus. And you did not do that consciously.
You know why you do that? You do
I'm
that
the world's greatest.
You're fucking psychos. That's why.
I made it. Woo. Now, what you do is you point and you look at them to make sure they're singing the same words that you are loudly singing at the same time.
Thank you for proving my point, both of you.
Anyway, so you wanted to talk about Under the Bush stories.
So this might not be, this might not make the grade, because this is going to get a bit X-rated. But you know when you were younger, right? We're all about 30 to 35-ish. Did you...
There's only one person it's almost 35 in here and I'm away from it.
Like
30
to
90. 30 to 95-ish. Basically, anyone that's younger than 25 probably hasn't dealt with this. But did you guys... Well, I'll rephrase that. When was the first time you saw a porn magazine?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're getting at here. Now, I can say that the first time I realised I owned a porn magazine was in my house, and my brother had it, and he had it in just this little nook in between, you know, the wardrobe. However, the first time I became aware of them was when you found them, and we don't call them a bush, we call them a hedge in Scotland, and people used to just throw porn magazines and hedges. It was kind of like, I'm passing it on to the younger generation. You take that, son. That's yours.
I've
you
used have it. This one enough.
Yeah. They might be shaving now, but it used to be different.
I feel like giving like post-it notes with like advice on what it was like. Like, back in my day, porn looked a lot different.
Yeah. So that's kind of what you're getting at, aren't you?
100%. Like, because the first time I ever saw a vagina wasn't a porn magazine that we found in the sand dunes. So I lived near the beach, and the sand dunes was like this wasteland of, we had about 4 homeless junkies that lived there, and you kind of knew them by name. They were nice enough people, but they definitely had porn, and you could find their porn, and you looked at it. You did, and you got all your mates to come and look at this thing. Look at this, it's weird. Look at that, we don't have one of those.
I always thought this was an urban myth, but...
Nah, man.
The 10-minute preview.
Sky didn't really come until like 1998.
10-minute fever was a thing when you had NTL, when you had cable, when you were like, I don't know, I still lived in my happy family home, and fuck me, I moved out of there in 97. So you had the 10-minute preview, you had live TV, and I think you possibly had Granada Men and Motors. I have never,
And you might not get any of these references right.
I've never...
Danny, you've just made so many references there. NTL, throwback, Men and Motors. I've not heard the phrase Men and Motors in about a generation, man.
Because you were too busy fucking scouring pages for fucking magazines where the pages stuck together.
The one, we called it in New Zealand was Sky One Porn. But the problem with Sky One
we
Porn...
We had a different Sky One.
our Sky One Porn, right, happened at 11:45 at night. But you only had Sky in one room, and that was the lounge. And fucking watching Sky One Porn in the lounge in the house that your parents lived in was the scariest fucking thing, because every time you heard a noise, you're watching porn at like 3 decibels, like right next to it, and you heard a noise from upstairs, and you went, turn it off quickly, put it onto the side of the house, act cash. Oh, I'm not watching porn, mum. Oh, like, want a cup of tea? Yeah, good. Oh, I love you too. Huh?
No. I can almost trump that story in the sense that when I was in my happy family home, I discovered a channel called Live TV, and back then your cable boxes were linked up, so you would maybe, I had my own cable box in my room, but if I changed the channel, it changed the channel in another room, and so on and so forth. So my mum and dad were in the process of a very happy divorce at this point. So my dad was sleeping in my sister's bedroom, which is where my cable box was linked up to. So at least twice, and I was too young to like be like tearing the heat off it or anything, so at least twice I would be watching Painted Ladies, James, or Topless Darts.
Mm-mm.
And you were watching this, and you would just hear the stairs going, and you're like, oh, fuck yeah, I forgot about that. And then you're like frantically flicking cricket on or something. And then when the door opens to go, and like, because it's your dad, like, he kind of knows, and he's trying not to laugh. So he'd be like, what are you doing? And you're like, oh, I'm just watching fucking the highlights of South Africa playing the West Indies.
I'm really passionate about this. Yeah.
I've got to really love Brian Lara, so I need to know how he's getting on in these highlights.
I can top that. And that's not from watching stuff and cable. I'm still on a journey of self-discovery.
That's a really good start to a sentence. I was on a journey of self-discovery.
I didn't have a lock on my door, and it was probably about 4 or 5 p.m. in the afternoon on a weekend, and I pulled down my trousers, and I was like, I don't even know if I had... I can remember the first time that I had a wank and I actually achieved anything, you know, and what was happening. I don't know if I had reached this point then, so I think I was still exploring myself, and I'm there, and I'm doing the stuff that the guys in the playground had said, you know, because that's where you learn everything.
Yeah, the playground was like, yeah, basically Wikipedia, you know, back in the day.
It was Wikipedia.
The janitor was a really good one.
What was his name? R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. Allegedly his name was R. Kelly.
Allegedly.
But I'm doing it, and I'm like, you know, and then door opens, it's still in my hand, my dad walks in.
Oh, fuck yes.
I'm looking at him, he's looking at me, and I'm like, Just checking what size it is. I then proceed to run out the full house, pretend to run away, and the furthest I get is like about 20 feet away, just at a lamppost, like, I hate my life. I don't know what to do. Me and my dad never talked about this again.
Never mentioned. I've got two. The first time I ever had sex, right, I was in a car, and it was with a lady, obviously, and mum had always told me my whole life, because all my brothers are older than me and they'll have kids, if you ever have sex and you don't have a condom, come see me. No matter when it is, no matter, I won't be angry, I promise, I won't get grumpy. If you need a condom and you don't have a condom, come see me. So by the way, I'm drunk, it's 3:30 in the morning, we're in a parked car, and we went, oh, we might do the intercourse thing. Cool, great. I ran 10Ks to my house, broke into my house, right? So no one's at my house, mum's not expecting me, I broke into my house, it's a two-story house, I jumped into the top story. My stepdad's waiting there with a fucking bat, because he hears noises. I wasn't sneaky, I was drunk, I was waiting with the bat. You look like you're about to jump in. And I get in the window. Kevin's about to attack me because he thinks I'm about to rob his house. I knock on the door to the thing and I go, Mum, can I please have a condom? She bursts into fucking laughter. Kevin's sitting there with a bat and his undies just holding it going, this is way better than I thought the situation was going to go. Mum gave me about 5 boxes of Durex condoms. What a good bitch.
How much sex did she think you were having?
I don't know. Not that much. Maybe she's like, you'll be shit for a while. This will see you out until you're all right.
How can that be your first question? Why did you not just drive there?
No, because I was drunk. We were both drunk. And
but
we were
just drive.
You like to run. Remember that running story you told?
No,
it was just then.
I stopped listening. I'm just driving. I'd fucking drive to New Zealand Tesco Express and buy condoms.
Ah, but when you're 15, you don't have money for condoms. You don't even have a card.
Just drive.
Yeah, you don't have the nous to walk to a store and go, can I have some condoms?
Plus in New Zealand, fuck all shops are 24/7. Oh, they probably are now, but back in the day, we lived probably a 25-minute drive from a big shopping mall. Not going to go there and go, can I have condoms? Like, you're scared of shit. Mum will give you condoms.
How do you buy your condoms now? I've got a friend who still goes into a pub and will buy them out of a machine.
I went into a pub about 2 weeks ago and they had them for free. And water. They had condoms and water. This is the fucking future.
You can make your own water balloons.
You could. I use Amazon, to be fair. And sometimes I'll go to the doctor, because in New Zealand you get a prescription for condoms and they give you about 4,000 for £3. So like that's what you do. And here I go, oh, can I have some condoms, to the doctor? And he looks at me like, yeah, I guess you can. Walk 4 miles down the road to the sexual health clinic.
Don't drive.
Don't drive. And it's so embarrassing walking into the sexual health clinic to get condoms. Because you're walking in and everyone's looking at like, don't make eye contact, don't make eye contact. You don't want to know why they're there. You don't really want to be seen there or even walking in there. And you get these free packs of condoms as a grown man going, I just wanted to save 10 quid. My name
is Shane.
Fucking sound effect. Yep.
You're a man that's comfortable being naked.
I feel like I'm about to get stitched up. Yes, I don't mind being naked. Like, I'm not like, yeah, get your kid off. Rah, we're on tour. But if I'm naked, I'm naked.
Right. Have you ever been naked in front of a cat?
Yep, I've been naked in front of a cat and a dog.
What's the difference? Because I've grown up with dogs all my life, and 100% I would never be naked in front of a dog. But I got a cat recently, right? And shit, I'm naked in front of that cat all the time. I'm like, you know, because I know that he doesn't care. He's just like, you know, he really doesn't care. But if I'm naked in front of a dog, I feel guilty. I feel like I'm abusing that dog's eyes.
The dogs, that is the difference. Dogs care. And they look at you with sincere eyes. And they've got just this warmth in their eyes. They're going, what did you do with your clothes? What are you doing here? Okay, I'll still be your friend, but this is a bit weird. Like, Kelly comes along.
And allegedly.
Allegedly. It's just this big, weird situation.
I'm willing to lick your face, but I've got limits here.
I can take that to the next step, because I have,
Before we get to the next step, right, and what coming at, Danny, you've had both growing up. How's your naked levels in front of it?
Can't say I've ever consciously thought about either.
Cats in the room. I wouldn't, coming out of the shower.
I would generally floss and dry myself in front of both, but I wouldn't do any sort of sexual activities in front of either.
Just to confirm, is flossing when you actually floss your teeth or when you get the towel between the front of your legs and the back of your legs?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't do that enough. I just thought.
That's a great way to dry the gooch. But also, spray your gooch with deodorant. That is a fucking free tip for everyone listening.
Anyways, back to... Let's go Danny first. So you don't think you've been consciously naked in front of either?
I would get dressed and get dried and all that in front of them, but I wouldn't do anything sexual in front of any kind of animal because animals, cats are the most judgmental looking little fucking bastards on the planet.
Listening to their pop music, putting their hands up in the air, singing to their cats.
Pointing at the sky. No, just to make this clear, Danny doesn't like cats, and James is the biggest fucking cat nerd there is.
Right, so don't dislike cats. I've had cats. I've had loads of cats over the years. I've nothing against them. I just wouldn't want another one.
Because they can't.
They're just shit.
Right. Oh, Shane's got his hand up.
What? I've got my hand up because I've seen you try and avoid this. But I remember in the last podcast, Danny, do you remember this? James reckoned he's going to make a song because we were talking about we said we should make one, and James went, next week we'll come back and we'll make one. I actually sent James some backing music because I knew he'd pussy out of it. So I went, yeah, I'll just remind him. James, you said you were going to make a song. How's that going?
Right, so, yeah, I 100% appreciate the music you sent me. do you know what? All week Shane's been, because I work with Shane, and Shane's been like, have you listened to that song?
Thoughts on that song?
I didn't until this afternoon, and I came up with some lyrics for it, but they're not quite there yet.
It doesn't matter, because the song doesn't have to be made today. You just need to show our listeners, which might just be my mum and everyone's mum, that you actually made an attempt. I reckon you do it. Well,
do you know
what you've got?
I'm not going to sing it tonight. But I'm going to leave you with, I'm going to sing it next week, and I'm going to tell you the central character of it and the name of the central character.
And then play us the music at the same time, because that's a good bloody choice of music.
Okay, I'm going to put in music now.
Great song.
This song is about Shani. A combination of both your names.
Ah, clever, I like that.
Who's my little cockatoo.
This is getting very R. Kelly-ish as we speak.
And his journey in the big wide world. I think it's very catchy at the moment, but it's only got two verses, and I want to explore it further.
Can you give us a small highlight? Give us the best verse or the best piece of lyricism that you've written so far. Because Eminem wrote a new album. Just give us a wee tease of yours.
I'll try.
Am I going to start lifting my arm and looking you in Danny, the eye after this?
My little cockatoo. Danny, my little cock. Danny, my little cockatoo. I've got a confession to make. I did write it about Danny and then changed it to Shani.
Because it sounded like you did not say Shani once, so I sounded like an afterthought into Danny. But I like my favourite part about that is when you go, Danny, my little cock.
Cockatoo.
Thoughts, Danny? The song's basically about you. He's put me in there half-assed.
Yeah, I could tell that the moment he went with Shani and not Shaney, because Shaney is actually quite a cute thing. I don't know. I didn't feel my arm lifting in the air wanting to stare anyone in the eye and start singing it yet. So once it's enhanced, that'll change.
I'll produce it. And we'll see for next week. Yeah.
Toodaloo.
Catch you.
Kia ora.
Yeah, that's hello.
That also works as goodbye in Scotland.
Umbungo.